Now, let us turn to the passage in Revelation chapter 21. And we shall read again verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Particularly these words, the holy city, New Jerusalem. That holy city was written very extensively about by a very well-known servant of the church in the past, St. Augustine. And he wrote a great two-volume work called The City of God. And it was about the church on earth. And he called it the city, the church, I should say, on earth and in heaven, the church combined. He called it the holy city. Partly on earth, partly in heaven. Those who have gone on before are in heaven. The community of the saved, sometimes we say the church on earth is the church militant, and the church that has, though the part that has gone ahead to heaven, that they are the church triumphant. One part, the part that is here where we are, is at war and increasingly oppressed by that other city, the city of the world, the harlot of Revelation. But the other part of this city of God is now out of reach of Satan and all his instruments. All oppression is now in the past, and there is rest. Now, for the part of the city which is in this world, there is no rest from oppression until our change come. But there is good things and encouraging things spoken in the Word of God about the city of God as it is in this present world, the church presently in the world, the church militant. In Psalm 46, we read there that there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. These are the streams of encouragement which come from God himself to his church upon earth. These streams, the gladdening streams, gladdening the city of God as she endures the present oppression and the present turmoil and endures it to the end with the assurance given to her by the Lord Jesus Christ. He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now Revelation 21 takes us forward to the end time, to the end of this world as we know it. And what we have in view here is the holy city complete, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, a city. Now this concept, of course, is not at all new. Indeed, it goes back a long way. If we look in the book of Hebrews and chapter 11, that great account of the heroes of the faith, we read in verse 10 about Abraham, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So clear that even in the Old Testament, those who were of faith had this idea of a city in which God would gather all his elect, and which would be a greatly blessed city, the holy city, New Jerusalem. That is what the church for the ages past has longed for. That is what we should also be longing for, longing to be in that city, that holy city, in which there is no sin, and nothing that defiles, and nothing that makes a lie, where we will be separated from all our own sin and all our own corruption, and live with the Lord forevermore. Now, tonight, we're looking at the city of God complete. The whole enterprise of God is coming to that great climax where it is victory all the way for the people of God. Those of us who were at the meeting last night, we heard of somebody on a deathbed who just shouted out, "Victory, victory, victory." And that's what it will be for all the people of God, and for Satan, and for the world, and for all the oppressors of the church through the ages. It will be defeat, defeat, defeat. That is the glorious future that awaits the church of Jesus Christ. So, here we have the city of God, as it were, complete and altogether entering into their final state. I saw, he says, the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Now, first of all, there is the preparation for this great event. Certain things had to take place. Part of that preparation is now already in the past. The final judgment and the great division which that involves. The division according to the gospel. The gospel itself in this world is itself divisive. The very means which God uses to soften some and to change them and to save them, that is the gospel. God uses that same means in order to harden others. That is such a serious thought. But this division, the final division, will be in accordance with the gospel, accordance with reception or rejection of the gospel. The wicked have already gone to their place, and the earth has been purified by fire. Every trace of sin, every stain, every blemish, every wrong, every wickedness, all corruption, all decay, all disease, all distortion, all disharmony have completely been burned out of it by the purifying fire of God. And out of there, the great conflagration, there has been born a new and a perfect universe. though the word new here needs just a little bit of attention. We tend to think that new always means another, a separate one from what was past. But that is not the case, even in our own usage of it. For example, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is not another creature. He is the same person, but he is a new creature. Here we have a new earth, a renewed earth, a purified earth. Not another one, but just new, as in new creature, a new creation. John sees a new order before his very eyes. A new order of the created universe. A new heaven and a new earth. Not, I emphasize, a different one. Another heaven and another earth. To replace completely the one that has been, as it were, discarded. It is impossible for me to believe that God would discard the present created order, the order which He Himself created. To me, part of God's great victory is the redemption of the whole creation. As it read in Romans chapter 8, the creation groans, waiting for the redemption of the children of God. The earth will be renewed. The world as we knew it, the world of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, and the harlot, all these oppressing forces which we have in the book of Revelation, the world which was full of these things, that world has now passed away. All these things are utterly in the past as far as the church is concerned. And there is this purified new universe, a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth have passed away. That doesn't mean that they have, as we use the word, that pass away. Doesn't mean that the old heaven and the old earth had died, as it were, or again have been discarded. But simply that they are in the past, as that they have passed away as just being belonging to the past. There is now a renewed creation, a new order altogether. Now, John sees this vision, but it is still clear that it is a material universe. The emphasis on I saw the holy city. Sorry, in verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And verse 2, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. This, of course, ties in with Job's great statement of his own faith, where he was able to say that within my flesh I shall see God. In this body I shall see Him renewed and recreated in the image of God. I shall behold Him, he says, and not another. There shall be no more sea, no more unrest. Sea is always the symbol of unrest. The sea, I think, means not just the sea, but it means the whole of the world as it was, in continual upheaval and continual unrest. And there is so much tension, I feel myself, even in the crust of the earth. These massive plates which make up the crust of the earth, and rubbing against one another and overlapping one another and moving over one another, causing these incredible upheavals of earthquakes, speaks to me of the groaning of the earth under tension, the earth stressed, as it were, waiting for its redemption, waiting for its renewal. And that is, to me, symbolized here by the sea. There will be no more sea. There will be no more of that upheaval in the earth or in the universe or in the world. That will be all in the past. No more conflict. So that is, these are the things which were preparatory to the emergence and the appearance of this holy city. So secondly, what is the origin? Where does this holy city, the New Jerusalem, where does it come from? John says, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Now we have to understand heaven in terms of the creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And when it says here in verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. I think we have to be very clear that this is a reference to the created universe, to what we call the earth and what we call the heavens. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But when we come to the origin of the holy city, it says, coming down from God out of heaven. There, heaven means God's dwelling place. But John did not see a city made up of buildings. But he saw a city made up of people. All of these people have at some time been one from the city of this world, one out of that city into the city of God, into the holy city. Some for a long, some in that city, in the new city, for a long, long time, others for a much shorter time. But there is always in the history of everyone that is in this holy city that translation, that being moved from the city of this world into the city of God, out of the community and fellowship of this world into the community and the fellowship of the people of God, out of the camp of the oppressors and moved into the camp of the oppressed, that is the church in this world. So this church, this city that he saw coming down out of heaven is not made up of buildings but of people. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, clearly referring to the ransomed church, all gathered together, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it is an interesting thing always to keep in mind, and it is really an encouraging thing to keep before us, that there is a sense in which the church is always winning. What do I mean by that? I mean this, that the flow of people is always in the one direction. People are one from the world and one into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Those who are truly saved, truly born again, are one. They are translated out of the one into the other. Always in that direction. And of them, there is never one single one, ever has been or ever will be, has gone on the journey back into the world. Now that is a thing to keep before us. That there is a sense in which the church is always winning and the world is always losing. Our city is increasing. Started at nothing, you might say. And it's increasing. The other city is started so great and it is diminishing all the time. Now these things are realities which we really need to keep before us. We shouldn't be defeatist or pessimistic as far as the church is concerned. So now these people who make up this city which John saw coming down from God out of heaven, they are now separated from their sin. Separated from the thing that many a day broke their heart. From that thing which would never leave them alone. The thing which caused them many a day to cry, "Who shall deliver me from this body of death?" That which sometimes even made them ask, "Can it be like this with someone who is a true child of God?" Separated from sin and the renewal which began in this world the moment they were saved, the process of sanctification, and a big leap forward even at conversion. From that moment they were holy. But the process progresses throughout life. And at death, of course, there is another massive leap forward so that they are completely changed, renewed in the image of God, made perfectly holy and glorified in looking upon the Lord Jesus Christ and being made like Him. So they have, as it were, been translated to heaven, and here we see them coming down out of heaven. The holy city, New Jerusalem, that great company of victors, that great company of triumphers and winners who triumph through the Lord Jesus Christ. Then thirdly, we notice that this prepared, that John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The bride of Christ. This city, this multitude which no man can number, is now adorned. She is indeed what I think I've called her before in a sermon. She's indeed the most beautiful bride that there ever has been. The Church of Jesus Christ. She is prepared and she is a perfectly suitable bride. And He is perfectly satisfied with her. He sees no spot in her. He says to her, thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. He was able to say that to her even while she was on earth, because even there he saw her clothed with his own righteousness, and he saw her, I'm sure, as she would be at this time of the marriage. She's adorned to please him. What in her could please him? What possible adornment could she have that would please him? Well, the answer to that question is always the same. There is never anything at any time in you or in me which can please God except his own work. Our prayer is that he might see in us not something of us, but that he might see us in us something which is his own. Nothing else could please him. And so it is at the end here. The adornment is not her own, but it is the adornment given to her by her husband, his own perfect righteousness. And just a word finally about the nature of this eternal city. Now, the essence of this really is in verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven, saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. That is it. There must be nothing beyond that which we look for in heaven. Nothing more glorious than these things. Whatever pleasures, whatever blessings there may be, the central thing is what we have there in verse 3. Dwelling with God, and God dwelling with men. This great voice, this great declaration from heaven, as I would think it would be a chorus from the angels, thousands and thousands and thousands of them, declaring with all their might this amazing thing, that the dwelling place of God is with men. He is not only prepared to make them his people, he is not only willing to be their God, but he comes and makes his dwelling with them. Those who are in heaven will live there with God. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and so on and so forth. You know these words very well, I am sure. But the thing that should fill us with wonder is the same thing as filled these angels with wonder. The first thing at the top of the list of the blessings of heaven, whatever they may be, is that God will dwell with us. God, not just in spirit, but God in the only way in which we can see him, and that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Job made his great confession of his faith, and it is just amazing at such an early time in Revelation that God was able to reveal this to him. It is so clear, his emphasis on seeing God with his eye. In my flesh, he says, I shall see God. For you and for me, the same thing applies. And that is the great victory of it all. And this is not just a complete doing away with the creation and with the persons that we are and with our physical nature. Because that would be defeat. This is the greatest victory of all. The redemption of our bodies, as Paul speaks about in Romans chapter 8. And the redemption of the creation, as in the same chapter. These things are realities. The New Jerusalem, the city of God. Jerusalem was a very, very, very poor type of heaven. The true Jerusalem was always the one which is above, which is, as Paul says, the mother of us all. Here are things to encourage us. Strange thing about the book of Revelation. It speaks so much about the conflict of the church, about the oppression against the church, about wave upon wave of oppression. The dragon, the false prophet, the beast, the harlot, all ranged against the church. And yet, it is a book of comfort, because the victory is always with the people of God. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we thank thee for the revelation of future things, for what thou hast told us, Lord, for our encouragement. O Lord, help us to take these things unto ourselves, to appropriate them by faith, to embrace them, to hold fast unto them, to never let Satan rob them of us, and to know that we are on the side which will ultimately triumph. The side of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, bless to us all that we know of him. Bless to us all our experiences of him. Bless to us all the future hope that we have in regard to him. Bless to us the sure word that our future is and will be with him forever. In Jesus' name, amen.